We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Hope you had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Just great energy all weekend long, especially here in downtown Milwaukee. All the teams, all the schools, fan bases from all over the region. You know, the losses locally here sting a little bit for us Marquette and UW fans, that's for sure. But, you know, like life and like business, you learn lessons and you move on. But I do really want to say congratulations to Kentucky and Ole Miss for sure, especially to their fans and supporters that just showed up and had an amazing time here in downtown Milwaukee. As I said, just big crowds. That's how you grow a community, by hosting marquee events like the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. I think especially just my impressions, the Kentucky and Illinois fan bases, like they were loud and proud, just all in gear, all just outfitted, especially here at the Third Street Market Hall on Friday. They all had their little big watch parties. They had their own PA systems. They were doing chants and singing. It was just a wonderful, wonderful scene to see. He had concerts all weekend here in downtown Milwaukee. The Miller High Life Theater hosted Dwight Yoakam Friday night, Mercy Me Saturday night. You know, I always say a city is only as good as the stories it tells. And one big story that you may have missed, just a little quote from the coach of Ole Miss. And I saw this from Rich Revito, who is a reporter at Milwaukee Magazine, also does some work with the AP on the sports side. Rich posted this on his X account over the weekend. Ole Miss coach Chris Beard on playing tournament games in Milwaukee. Quote, "Milwaukee is a great city. The NCAA does a great job picking the right cities for these tournaments. The city has been great. Our guys have enjoyed it. The downtown area is cool. Everybody around here seems to love basketball. That's what it's all about, bringing opportunities and economic impact to the heart of the state of Wisconsin." Today's Monday, so we're going to do the Monday market preview. Dave Spano will join. Dow has already gained 500 points today on tariff optimism, if you will, and tech stocks are rallying a bit. So we'll get an analysis from Dave Spano. And Tom Still, Tom is the president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. He'll join us later in the show. The Tech Council is a nonprofit, bipartisan science and technology policy advisory board to the governor and the state legislature. As we do each and every morning, though, I got two things we need to talk about. So let's go. Two up.
Now it's time for the
two
up on the Upswing.
No path yet specifically for Northridge. The demolition of the former Northridge Mall in Milwaukee could be done by the end of the year. And the redevelopment of the 55-acre site, it may take longer, and it's going to require a ton of creativity, a ton of patience, and a ton of persistence. Milwaukee Commissioner of City Development Lafayette Crump said last week in a meeting update to residents, it's important to get this right, said Crump. We want to make sure that whatever replaces the former Northridge Mall will add to the economic vibrancy of the Granville area, as well as the city as a whole. Crump spoke last week to residents in the area about the demolition and the redevelopment potential. Market analysis on the site, you're going to hear a lot about, oh, you know, the site is 3 or 4 miles from the highway. There isn't a ton of opportunity. What should we do? What can the impact be? But the reality of this site is, it is one of the largest redevelopment spaces in the city of Milwaukee right now. The largest contiguous development site in the city. A ton of opportunity. I think you go housing, you look at green opportunities, and you look at light industrial, you make it truly walkable, and you reimagine what a neighborhood could look like. Second up, reporting from the Milwaukee Business Journal this morning, Milwaukee Area Technical College District Board is going to consider approving a new biotechnology lab technician program later this month. The program is designed to equip students to pursue careers in the biotechnology industry, according to meeting documents. The Biotech Hub grant is subsidizing the cost of this MATC program, and the college is also adding 2,000 square foot biology lab and a virtual reality lab classroom that's estimated at a total cost of $1.5 million, which could be completed by this August. Coming up next, Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management, will join us for our Monday market preview.
The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano.
Working for it all, but it's money, money, it's money, money.
Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Happy Monday. Hope your day is off to a wonderful start. President Trump has declared his April 2nd deadline to be Liberation Day for the United States. And the day is going to put in place what he's called reciprocal tariffs that seek to equalize U.S. tariffs with the duties charged by trading partners, as well as tariffs on sectors like automobiles, pharmaceuticals, and semiconductors. He repeatedly has said that he would enact them on April 2nd. This morning, there's some change in those thoughts, and we're going to get Dave Spano's thoughts on that in just a little bit. Also, some big news from last week. You may have missed, if you're not a DoorDash customer, maybe you don't know what Klarna is. So DoorDash and Klarna signed a deal where customers can choose to pay for food deliveries in interest-free installments. Now, this is buy now, pay later. So essentially now, if you want to buy your food with DoorDash, you're ordering from wherever, your favorite fast food place, to have it hand-delivered to your home, you can pay in interest-free payments using Klarna, integrated into the DoorDash platform. Buy now, pay later. I really wonder what this says about the state of the economy. And we're going to get Dave's thoughts on this as well. It's easy. It's simple. Without a doubt. Hey, if I want to buy a $10 meal deal from whatever my favorite fast food restaurant is, now I can break it up into four payments and pay it over the course of, what, 6-8 weeks? But what if you miss one of those payments? What happens? Your credit score could get dinged. So, is this a good move, or is it one that is just going to further escalate us into a little bit of a credit crisis? I don't know. It's interesting. It's reacting to what the consumer wants. It's making it easier to buy things at a lower price point. I understand all that. Buy now, pay later services. There are many of them, Affirm, Afterpay. They're being used by U.S. consumers across the area. And this past holiday season, more shoppers than ever used delayed payment methods, according to reporting by the Washington Post. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this opportunity. I know in our whole household, I'm always amazed that, whoa, how did our kids even figure out how to use DoorDash? And how did this food show up here? I don't want them to have that opportunity to break those payments up. Obviously, they have to get consent from an adult to make that purchase in the first place. But providing that flexibility, I think, could have some really interesting, complex qualities on the economy as a whole. We'll get Dave's take on this when we come back. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. It's our Monday market preview. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. So the Dow is up 500 points this morning on some tariff optimism. And President Trump seems to be narrowing his looming set of tariffs a bit. What are you seeing at the markets today?
Yeah, they like the fact that this may get kicked down the road again. And maybe it's not the White House, it's the Waffle House, but I don't mind it, right? I don't mind that they're trying to walk that back. But, you know, if I was negotiating the deal, I would just put a list together of all the tariffs and the countries and the products, right? So the whole world could see it. And so if the United States, for example, is getting, you know, 40% on a certain product and we're charging 5%, everybody in the world can see that there is an inconsistency there, and that's what he's trying to get done. He's trying to get a more fair trade deal done where some of these tariffs are equal amongst countries, and that's kind of the backdrop. So it is reducing the odds that we'll have more disruption, but April 2nd's a big day no matter what. And so we're watching that closely, and so is the market.
Okay, so I mentioned this a little bit in the last segment that buy now, pay later services are being integrated into DoorDash. So you can have your home food delivered from your favorite fast food restaurant. You can break up payments, maybe a $9 order, a $12 order, into 4 payments that are interest-free. What are your thoughts on this kind of next-level credit, if you will, for fast food delivery?
Yeah, you know, breaking up your burrito payment into 4 payments doesn't sound like something that we'd want to do, right? But for some people who are the terms unbanked, right? So people who don't have a credit card, maybe that makes sense. Unless, right, you get to a point where you start adding up and it starts becoming another debt problem for somebody else. But for a lot of people, you know, so for example, it's an alternative for a credit card. But for a lot of people, they have more months than money, right? So there's still some of the month left and they've run out of money. Those are the folks that we are kind of concerned about. As we know, there are a lot of people who are feeling the pinch. But it's not a punch in the gut, but it's certainly another way to pay it as long as people are going to pay it at the end of the month. But me personally, I'm not breaking up my burrito payments into 4.
No, I mean, it's a creative way for sure. It's interest-free, but you really have to be aware of what could happen when you miss the payments. It's not just free money and you're not getting your $10 burrito for $2.50. You have to pay each one. And if you miss one, it could have implications on your credit.
Yeah, and that's an issue, number one. And number two, and we've talked about this before, is, you know, we've got a two-speed economy, right? So those who had the haves, they are the ones who are spending and keeping retail spending going. And those who don't have it are struggling. And that is, you know, that's a political argument for sure. It's an economic argument. It's something that we as a country need to solve.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk stocks again, kind of specifically. I mean, really, Tesla is on everyone's mind in terms of, hey, do I buy? Do I sell? What's the long-term implications for the company? A bit of a roller coaster, but I think there's a bit of a thought like, wow, it might be time to buy Tesla. How do you advise and interpret around kind of single stock buys?
Yeah, so, you know, we do that work. We are a bottom-up research organization. So we look at every one of these securities from the bottom up and say, all right, what are the valuations of it? How is it trading? And then we start to build out those portfolios. But for every single person, right, obviously your risk tolerance, it has got to matter. And does it fit into your portfolio? But you talk about Tesla, and he's, you know, when you step into the political environment, that's kind of what happens. You start getting punched around a little bit. And so we're seeing, of course, you know, this company called BYD, which is a Chinese automaker, which is really going gangbusters around the world, not in the United States because of 100% tariffs, which I am sure he intends to put into place. But there are other automakers as well. And you think about there's hybrid, there's plug-in hybrid, there's, you know, all of the major car companies are starting to get into EV business. And it's just, for those that are selling it, it makes sense. So Tesla is, I think, suffering a little bit from political harassment. But that's what you do when you step into this ring. But you got to be careful, right? When you talk about individual stocks. It's a lack of diversification. You got to make sure that you don't have a short-term focus. You know, what are the concerns of those things? And that's why if you just say, all right, I'm going to have 5% or 2% or 4% of my entire portfolio in one stock, that's okay. It's when you start getting 10 and 20 and 30%. And we do see people who come in with an overweight in a single position.
Yeah. And always be aware, you know, the stock price isn't totally indicative always of the opportunity and what's happening inside the business, too. There's a lot beyond the car at Tesla, for sure.
There's no question. And there's the short term and the long term. And I think Buffett said that in the short term, that investing in single companies is a voting machine, but in the long term, it's a weighing machine. In other words, if you're buying the right company in a longer term perspective, no matter what it is, Jeff, yeah, if they sell more whatever revenue and they get a more net income or profitability, that's something the market can value. It's those that don't that have an issue.
All right, Dave, I always appreciate your insights. Enjoy the week, and maybe we'll talk to you next week. Next Monday is opening day, so we might delay our conversation one week, and I'll just see you at the ballpark.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll see you there.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The 12th annual Wisconsin Tech Summit was held last Monday at American Family Field, obviously home of our Milwaukee Brewers. It was held in the stadium's club level. Today, the ballpark prepares for opening day, the home opener, which is next Monday. But on the phone with us right now is Tom Still, who's the president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. Tom, I appreciate your time this morning.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Pleased to be with you and your listeners on WTMJ.
All right. So I wanted to first just kind of get your insights and overview of the Tech Summit from last Monday. I mean, these events are just so important, not only to building the ecosystem of startups in the area, but to act as a way to connect and contribute to the economy as a whole. So give us the highlights of the Tech Summit from last Monday.
Yes, thanks, Jeff. It overall, what it is a giant speed dating event for major companies and emerging companies. So we had 16 major companies there, you know, think the likes of Faith Technologies and Google Cloud and Microsoft and Mayo Clinic and Oshkosh and on and on. And about 45 to 50 emerging companies who took part in brief meetings with those major firms to try to see if there's some kind of connection, whether it's supply chain or, you know, sometimes we've even seen acquisitions out of this. So, you know, strategic partnerships is what happens there at the end of the day. We have a lot of other things that go on around it when those meetings are, you know, either not taking place or people have time in between. So we heard from Derek Hyde, who runs all the IT for the Milwaukee Brewers and throughout their system. We had 6 office hours, which are essentially workshops for people.
Okay.
And then some other side meetings with investors that entrepreneurs like to take part in and learn more if they can.
And what are the breakout sessions that intriguing for so many startups was AI in action segment that really talked about practical approaches for small businesses to use AI to boost revenue. What are you seeing in terms of the startup and the small and medium-sized business in terms of using AI to really increase and accelerate revenue?
I think with younger companies, because they can be more flexible and maybe more easily adopt, you know, different strategies at times, I think we're seeing that they can see it as, and almost the sky's the limit for AI in some ways, but it might help automate some tasks. It might help to optimize some processes, say they do, and enhance customer experience. Because if you're a young company and you maybe don't have a ton of employees, you can use some other tools that get you there. And then just sales and marketing efforts. You know, sometimes AI can be used to personalize outreach that perhaps otherwise doesn't get done. But for, you know, firms of all size, AI has so much potential. It's probably still untapped in some ways, but, yeah, you know, it could be anything from drug discovery to cybersecurity to farming, which is obviously a big deal in Wisconsin when, you know, I can imagine, and where they're already out there, AI tractors and other machinery, for example, drug discovery. So there's a lot that can be done with that, and it's getting done, really.
Yeah, and really, I mean, it acts as, once you have an advisory board at your fingertips, I mean, it gets you to that strong minimum viable product even quicker, and it helps really navigate the market in a much easier, more concise way. I mean, there's so many opportunities, and it's such an exciting time, no matter what the size of your company is. Tom, you had a really interesting take recently in one of your opinion pieces about the risks of cutting funding to the National Institutes of Health. When we come back, I want to discuss that, the prospect of less federal funding for research and what impact it could have on all of us, not only as human beings, but the economic ecosystem of our state. We're talking with Tom Still, who is president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Happy Monday. We're joined by Tom Still, the president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. Diving into technology and more this morning. Just a quick follow-up on our AI conversation, Tom. It's so interesting. We talked earlier in the show about DoorDash integrating with Klarna for buy now, pay later. And you look at version one of what DoorDash was. It was basically 8 PDF menus being loaded onto a static HTML website. That was the origins. That was the beginning of that company that is now DoorDash. Simply, they uploaded 8 documents and created a website. And now, look at what it's become. So the work that you and your organization does in terms of bringing people together to make ideas into action, it's so incredibly important. And it can obviously, it's just one conversation that can spark an entire company.
Oh, for sure. I mean, your DoorDash example is dead on. And, you know, that particular session that we had on AI was led by a guy named Spencer Smith, who's one of our members of our board of directors. And he just knows so much about AI in and out. So thanks again to him.
Yeah. So as Wisconsin is designated as a regional technology hub, how does that affect the state's ability to attract tech investments and talent? Because it's so important, recruitment and retention lens, whether it's technology or not. But how does a regional technology hub designation help us attract more talent to the area?
Yeah, it's a very important designation, as you put your finger on, Jeff. It is for biohealth, and it really involves all kinds of different pieces within biohealth. I mean, sure, there are things that involve, you know, research into biotechnology itself, but also medical devices, medical imaging, medical information, all these different pieces that actually in Wisconsin we're pretty good at. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty good at producing some of the jobs around that as well. So if you look at the corridor between Madison and Milwaukee, of course, we have some leading institutions, UW-Madison, Medical College of Wisconsin, Marquette. Actually, you go up north to the Marshfield Clinic as well. But here, I think when you look at GE Healthcare and that cluster over time, its growth over, you know, many, many decades now, it employs a lot of folks, but they're also doing breakthrough research in partnership with others that touch into these areas that directly affect human health. So overall, when you see some parts of the economy not growing as fast as we'd like to see, around health and medical research, we're seeing pretty good growth. And it keeps Wisconsin on the map. I mean, we're not the only ones doing this,
right,
but I think we're doing it as well or better than anybody.
And just all it's about packaging and positioning. And we have that IQ corridor that connects, as you said, Tom, Chicago, southeastern Wisconsin, and Madison. And there's some additional branding happening to connect Madison and Milwaukee, which has always been so important. But, you know, looking at that Madwaukee, if you will, and all the innovation and the technology initiatives that are happening between here and Madison, it's so very important to continue to build those connections.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the kinds of things that come out of it and have come out of it over time directly affect human health, not only here in Wisconsin, but around the country, around the world. You know, I'm thinking, like you mentioned earlier, the National Institutes for Health and some of the proposed cuts there, which I hope do not happen.
Mm-hmm.
But look at things like, you know, appendectomies. Back in the day, they would, you know, you'd be down for a long time with an appendectomy. But now things like laparoscopic or keyhole surgery make it so some people get up and start walking the same day.
Yeah.
But you know, when you all kinds of things. I mean, better treatments for cancers, understanding how bacteria, fungi, and viruses can live inside the human body for better or worse. Treatments for inflammatory bowel disease, modeling for rare disease cures, implantable artificial organs, animal to human organ transplants, antibiotics, AI in healthcare, which is getting back to our previous conversation, and new ways to target drug delivery. So these are the kinds of things that we have a role in through private companies and research institutions in Wisconsin that will continue to show benefits.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, it's so important. I mean, the risks are so real when you look at possible funding cuts through the National Institutes of Health, and it will affect where our health goes in the future. So that research is so incredibly important. So we have to definitely keep our eye on that and make sure we're looking for creative ways to continue to raise funds and keep the research going.
Absolutely. It's, you know, most private companies, while they can participate in research, they're usually not best set up to do the kinds of things that can take place most likely in a university-like setting. And so the pass-offs happen over time, but some of that initial research would not take place if not for that kind of outside funding.
Very good. Tom Stills, the president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. Tom, I appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk again soon.
Oh, thank you, Jeff, and to your listeners on WTMJ. I appreciate being here.
Thank you, thank you. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Walmart is ramping up its gas station operations to compete even more with Costco. So, would you buy gas at Walmart, Costco, or you just stick to your Woodman's or Quick Trip or BP? I got gas this weekend at a BP just outside of the city of Milwaukee in the village of Shorewood. I saw it at $3.05. And then it was down to like $2.99. But you're looking at costs across the area anywhere from $2.57 at Costco to Woodman's $2.79 right now. Sam's Club $2.79 a gallon. Quick Trip about $2.81. So the prices are remaining somewhat consistent there. But in terms of Walmart's further entry into the gas space, I think it's going to be really interesting as they remodel over 450 of their fuel and convenience stations across 34 states. This is their plan to do so by the end of the year. Costco, by comparison, operates 700 gas stations, Walmart at about 450. So Walmart definitely sees an opportunity here to cut into some of that business that Costco continues to get from all different demographics. Costco is just on an upward trend in terms of every income level, and Walmart wants to continue to find ways to take a little bit of that piece of that pie. Over the weekend, you may have seen that George Foreman, the two-time heavyweight boxing champion, who, for those that remember this, lost to Muhammad Ali in 1974 in the Rumble in the Jungle. Later, probably more so, many people know George Foreman as a successful entrepreneur, right? he created the George Foreman grill. And according to many different reports, it said that the George Foreman grill sold over 100 million units and reportedly earned the former boxer more than $200 million. I love this quote from George Foreman. He said, "I did not invent the grill. We made a better looking piece of furniture." If you remember the George Foreman grill, still, I think we have one in our basement. It kind of went the way, when you buy the air fryer, you're all excited about it and you use it a ton, and then you don't use it quite as much. I kind of had that same experience with the George Foreman grill, but I'll admit, I bought one and it served a need. It was a different mousetrap, if you will. And I truly appreciate that entrepreneurial thinking, whether it's a celebrity entrepreneur or someone else. You got to have those ideas in your head and you got to have a way to take action and bring creative products to the market that find success. Rest in peace, George Foreman. But thank you for all of your innovations and ideas that helped fuel entrepreneurial success all across the globe.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Regal Rexnord estimates a $60 million impact this year from tariffs, but has plans to largely mitigate their effects on the bottom line. The Milwaukee heavy equipment manufacturer said it will implement a strategy that includes pricing and productivity actions. Wells Fargo is closing its downtown Milwaukee branch on June 11th. The bank does not have plans to relocate or open a new branch downtown. Marquette University Athletics Director Mike Broker anticipates establishing a new facilities master plan for the university over the next couple of months. This could include the replacement of the Marquette gym, but there's no timeline for that project. I'm Logan Hansen for MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.